Hello, my friends. I'm Wesley Ryan, and you haven't just tuned in to another brand new episode of The Positive Psychology of Pop Music. You've tuned in to part two of my month-long celebration of all things The Party, when five cast members of the all-new, all-different Mickey Mouse Club joined together to form the ultimate 90s pop band, My Life Would Be Forever Changed. They are, without a doubt, my favorite pop group of all time, and it is such an honor to not just share their music with you, but to also share my interviews with some of the band about their favorite Mickey Mouse Club memories, the music that's inspired their lives and careers, and all of the cool projects they're up to today. Last week, we put the spotlight on the very cool and very charismatic Damon Pampalina. And this week, it is my pleasure to shift that spotlight to the super talented and super sweet Dee Dee Magno Hall. And since sweet is definitely the perfect word to describe Dee Dee, there's no better way to kick off this episode of The Positive Psychology of Pop Music than with one of the biggest hits from The Party's debut album. It doesn't just feature Dee Dee's magnificent vocals, it also conveniently satisfies my compulsion for segues by having sweet in the title. This is Dee Dee, Albert, Damon, Chasen, and Tiffany, better known as The Party, with Sugar Is Sweet. That was The Party with Sugar Is Sweet, a great 90s track that features the vocals of the artists we're spotlighting on this week's episode of The Positive Psychology of Pop Music, Dee Dee Magno Hall. Now, if you love The Party as much as I did when I was a kid, and if you think you do, I totally challenge you to a party trivia challenge. Like, seriously, bring it on. My hope is that hearing Dee Dee's sweet, sweet voice brought back some fantastic memories. Some of you, like yours truly, continue to listen to The Party on a very frequent basis, but some of you have been hearing the voice of Dee Dee Magno Hall for years without even realizing it. That's because Dee Dee is the voice of Pearl on the mega-popular Cartoon Network TV show Steven Universe. Admittedly, I had never checked out an episode of the show prior to finding out that it featured Dee Dee Magno Hall, but I'm happy to admit that once I watched the first few episodes, I was immediately hooked. That's because Steven Universe isn't just entertaining, it's also lined with some very positive messages aimed not just at children, but at all of us. And it was my pleasure to chat with Dee Dee about her role on the show and the feelings she has about its positive impact. Well, before I get into any of the music, I have to have a real moment with you. I had never seen an episode of Steven Universe until this morning.
Okay. trying to do your research.
but I'm officially obsessed. I had no idea it was so complex and all the mythology behind it.
Yeah. Rebecca Sugar is amazing. She's super talented. And having her be the first female to launch her own show on Cartoon Network was huge in itself. And then having her product just be seen by all of these fans from everywhere, like all ages, is just amazing. So it's been really fun to be part of.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I have to say that, you know, The Party for me was such a big part of my early exposure to diversity, but Pearl has gotten a lot of attention as a positive LGBTQ, you know, character in that show. What does that mean to you?
Well, you know, when I first signed on to do this show, I had no idea what kind of impact my character, or even just the show in general, is going to have. I honestly didn't know what it was completely about. I was excited that I was going to get to voice a cartoon character, which has always been a dream of mine. And on top of that, she was going to sing in the show. I mean, the show is very musical. I don't know if you got to any of the songs yet, but it's a very musical show. In almost every episode, there's a song. And Rebecca writes all of these songs. If she doesn't write all of them, she writes most of them. But I'm so excited to be part of something that has touched so many people in such a positive, beautiful way.
I could hear how proud Dee Dee was to be a part of something so fun, but also something so important. We all certainly need to make sure we are creating and exposing our children to important and positive messages in our society. After all, I believe that the children are our future. You know who else believes that? The late, great Whitney Houston and Dee Dee Magno Hall herself. That's why I wasn't surprised at all to find out that a particular Whitney track in general had a big influence on Dee Dee, although I admittedly was quite surprised at the story behind it.
Oh my gosh. Well, Greatest of All is one of my faves to sing. and actually sang that for a singing contest, a local singing contest in San Diego when I was growing up. And it was the first time that I was on TV. So I joined this local singing contest, and I didn't realize that it was really geared towards adults because the prize was going to be a nightclub singing contract.
Oh, my.
And I was 11 at the time. I think I was 10 or 11 at the time. And so I got to sing on at the local news station. And I think it was Channel 10 News in San Diego. But yeah, so I sang. I was like one of three finalists. It was way before American Idol, but everybody had all three of us had a phone number, and you would call in to vote. And apparently, I got like three times the votes of second place. Of course, I had all my aunties and uncles calling for me. But instead of giving me the grand prize of singing at a nightclub, they gave me the prize of singing at the opening of a new attraction at SeaWorld.
Okay.
So that was they televised it and everything. And but the song I sang for the contest was Greatest Love of All by Whitney Houston. So that was another one of my go-to songs that I would sing as a kid growing up.
I believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense.
Welcome back to The Positive Psychology of Pop Music, where this week we are highlighting the music and musical inspirations of The Party's Dee Dee Magno Hall. We just heard Greatest Love of All from Whitney Houston, which may have been one of the first pop songs to land Dee Dee a win, but certainly would not be one of the last. Case in point, the surprising track from Debbie Gibson, another one of my favorites, that landed Dee Dee a role that you may not expect.
I get lost in your eyes. So I sang that song actually for Terrence Mann, who was directing a rock musical version of Romeo and Juliet. And that was my choice of song for my audition. Yeah, that is a nice little memory for me. It just, I don't think he's ever heard that song in an audition before. So it landed me the role. So
there you go.
Thanks, Deborah.
It's been so cool, you know, to hear the new music from you guys. And I think last time I had asked what some of your favorite songs were, but I was wondering if there was a favorite video that you did with The Party that stands out.
Private Affair, Albert singing lead. I felt like the music video was so beautiful and just like cinematic. And I loved the costumes. I loved the hair and makeup. I just loved everything about that video. I loved the song. Yeah, I thought Albert sang really, really, had a beautiful singing voice in that. I mean, he has a great voice, but he just really loved that song. And the music video, I loved it. And it was, and you know, when you're so young, you know, sometimes you feel like you want to grow up fast. I felt like that was such an adult kind of video, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, yeah, just so cutting edge, and we're like, you know, so funny to like look back at all that stuff and see how little we looked. We looked so little.
When the night is gonna be so bright,
and then also, you know, you wrote one of the most, to use the word adult, just moving and kind of inspiring songs, Yellow Butterfly, on The Party's last studio album. What was the story behind that song?
That was the time in my life where I feel like most young people that I know anyway go through. It's so weird because I felt like I had such a wonderful childhood, and for me to say that that was my dark period, it's so ridiculous. But I have to say, in all honesty, it was a song that I wrote while I was feeling a little bit down in the dump when I was and I can't even tell you why. It was just, maybe I was going through something that I felt like the only way to sort of release whatever energy I was feeling was through writing this song. And the lyrics were sort of a way for me to turn something, turn a frown upside down kind of thing. And then I was really into the Brand New Heavies at that time.
Yeah.
So that was the reasoning for the feel of the music, that acid jazz kind of feel. And then Laura Zifrin, who was she was working with us from the record company at the time, she put me in touch with the Soul Sonics, and together we came up with this song, and I couldn't be happier with the way it turned out. I love that they had a flute sort of represent the butterfly in that song, and I was really, really hoping that we could sing that song live someday. I'm hoping that I could do it someday. Yeah, really, behind that was just this, I guess, my young teen angst. I don't really know why.
The story behind the song you're about to hear allows me to share one of my favorite messages from positive psychology. I can say with confidence that most of us have gone through difficult times. That, unfortunately, is part of being a human being. But some of us have been consistently given the message to just realize that other people have it worse off than you and to get over it. And while it is certainly true that engaging in social comparison in that way can give you a healthy perspective and allow you to focus on the positive things you have that you can be grateful for, you have to be careful, because pain and sadness are relative. It's true, there's always someone out there that has it worse than you, sometimes very dramatically so, but that doesn't mean that in that moment that you don't feel sad, that you don't feel discouraged, that you don't feel depressed. So we have to make sure that we acknowledge our feelings, that we process and express them before we go into that healthy perspective shift. Because if we don't, we end up repressing and downplaying feelings that can have a very dramatic impact on us without us even realizing it. That's why I have so much gratitude and love for artists who are able to tap into those emotions and share them, whatever the cause, because it gives people like me, who are much less creatively and artistically inclined, the opportunity to recognize how we feel and to get those feelings out. So when we try to shift our cognitions and our thoughts to, it's really not that bad, and it could always be worse, we actually mean it, and we can embrace that attitude without experiencing guilt or shame for our own feelings. So I absolutely love getting to hear the story behind the track you're about to hear, and I'm even happier to play it for you now. Here is Dee Dee Magno Hall with The Party on Yellow Butterfly. Welcome back to the Positive Psychology of Pop Music. You are smack in the middle of an entire month of episodes celebrating the music and careers of my all-time favorite pop group, The Party. And for more information on The Party and how to stay up to date on all the amazing projects they're up to, check out The Party Artist Spotlight at thepositivepsychologyofpopmusic.com. One of the recurring themes you'll hear in every episode this month is just how pleasantly surprised I was to leave each of my interviews with the members of The Party, loving them even more than I already did. And as Dee Dee and I continued to talk about the music that's inspired her life and career, I was thrilled to find out she not only shared my love of Madonna, but also an inability to just pick one Madonna song.
How about Madonna? Because I'm arguably Madonna's biggest fan, so you immediately connected with me.
Gosh, there's so many. I love Cherish, Express Yourself, Vogue. I mean, The True Blue album was one of my faves too. So, Into the Groove was my groove. That was my jam. Like, you could not dance to that song. Ah, so many. You're bringing me back.
That's my goal. I have to shamefully share with you that Into the Groove was one of my friend's favorite songs until I karaoke'd it every week for like 3 months. So. No longer.
It's a good karaoke song.
It is.
No, it's good. It's good.
You just heard Into the Groove, one of Dee Dee Magno Hall's musical inspirations. I can always count on Madonna to put me in a good mood. Just like as a kid, I could always count on the Mickey Mouse Club to do the same. Which is why it was really cool to get the inside scoop on some of Dee Dee's favorite performances from the Mickey Mouse Club and the stories behind them.
You know, I was really surprised how much control you had over your song choices. So I was wondering if there was a favorite performance that you had that you, you know, chose to do or had some input in.
Well, I love singing I Want to Dance with Somebody, too. That was a Whitney Houston song. I love the song Tell Me I'm Not Dreaming that I got to sing with Chase. And Go For Yours was actually a song choice that my brother suggested. He loved the meaning behind it. He was a big Lisa Lisa and Cult Jam fan. And he loved the song Go For Yours because it was really positive. And I brought that to the musical director's attention because of my brother who suggested that song. And then I had no idea that they were going to give me the rap. I just assumed, I don't know why, but I assumed that they would find another Mouseketeer to give that rap to. And when they suggested that I do it, I was like, oh, okay. So that was fun. But yeah, that was, I have a really fond memory of that number because it was a song that my brother had suggested.
As someone who credits his big sister for a lot of the musical influence on his life, I literally would not love Janet Jackson were it not for my sister tricking me into using my money to buy her Janet cassette tape. I absolutely love that one of Dee Dee's favorite Mickey Mouse Club memories involved the influence of her brother. I also love how big of an influence Dee Dee's entire family was, not just because of their own musical talents, but because they made sure to expose Dee Dee to a very talented and inspiring role model whose music and life continues to have an impact on her to this day.
Well, my house is always filled with music. My dad taught himself at a young age with his siblings how to play the piano and how to play the guitar. And there was always, like, the radio was always playing in the house and in the cars. And my dad introduced me to the Beatles and Elton John and Barbara Streisand and Jackson 5 and gosh, Whitney Houston. So like I grew up listening to all of his faves, and then I listened to Madonna and oh my gosh, there's a Filipino artist, her name is Sharon Caneta, who I obsessed over, and she did a lot of musical movies in the Philippines. And there was a song called Bituing Walang Ningning, which means a star that doesn't shine. But I'm sure that throughout the song, the star shines eventually. I just don't know every single word, what every single word means. I would need my parents to help translate the whole song for me. But growing up, I sang at a lot of Filipino pancit parties. Pancit is a noodle dish. We always say Filipino pancit parties because they would always serve this noodle dish at the parties. But there would come a time during the party where, okay, it was time for the karaoke to break up karaoke, and everybody would sing their favorite songs. And that was my go-to song that would please all of the aunties and uncles. And I would sing that song, even though I didn't know exactly what every word meant, what I was saying. I knew that the meaning behind it was about this aspiring singer, eventually her star would shine by the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was one of my faves growing up.
That song and that story gets me right in the feels, because I can imagine little Dee Dee looking up to Sharon and hoping that her own star would rise one day. And there is no doubt that it did. And while I promise not to break out in songs from The Lion King, I'll try really, really hard. But it's one of those beautiful things about the circle of life. Because Dee Dee would grow up to create her own music that not only inspired people like myself to go after and achieve our dreams, but to also make the world a better place. I recognize my very strong party bias, but I honestly believe that so much of their early 90s music could still powerfully resonate with listeners today. That's primarily because they weren't afraid to sing about pro-social behavior, about what we can all do to make the world a better place. And if there's one thing the world needs right now, it is peace. Not just on a grand scale, but in our everyday personal interactions. So the song I'm about to play for you didn't just grab me when I first heard it in 1993. It's one of a handful of songs that I try to make my personal mantra. I certainly have bad days, and I'm certainly far from perfect. But whenever I hear this next song, I go out of my way to make sure every interaction I have, be it with friends or family, with strangers, or even people who don't like me, is a peaceful and positive one. I genuinely do wish everyone in the entire world peace and positivity, and this next track helps me remember that, especially when I really need it. So my hope is that playing it for you now encourages that same peaceful interaction among us all. This is Dee Dee, Chasen, Damon, Albert, and Tiffany with the very inspiring I Wish You Peace. I can absolutely promise you that the music of the party has indeed never left my iPod. I have been consistently listening to them since their debut way back in 1990, and I will always be grateful to Dee Dee and the rest of the party for giving us so many great songs that have always been there for me. The idea that great and positive music can be there for us when we may feel like nobody else is the reason why I love music so much, the reason why it's had such a powerful impact on my life, and it's the reason that I created the positive psychology of pop music. And it's also, at least for me, the message behind the final party track in this episode. In one of my favorite tracks from the free album, Dee Dee beautifully sings about the type of love that's real, where you promise to be there for someone, regardless of what they need and regardless of what's going on. That's certainly great to have in a romantic lover, in family, and in friends, but it also encapsulates how I feel about music. At all times, it has been there for me. As we close out the show, don't forget you can head to thepositivepsychologyofpopmusic.com for more episodes, interviews, and information about Dee Dee and the rest of the party. Thanks to Dee Dee Magno Hall for chatting with me and fulfilling a lifelong dream, and thanks to you for listening. For The Positive Psychology of Pop Music, I'm Wesley Ryan, and with At All Times, this is The Party. For you.